We look to Capitol Hill now to get the latest on whether lawmakers are any closer to agreement on an economic relief package as millions of Americans fall deeper into financial stress. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The $908 billion bipartisan proposal was viewed as a last-ditch effort. Meanwhile, the Senate needs to act on a one-week stopgap bill, a continuing resolution to fund the government and keep it open. What do you make of the politics? What do you want Congress to do to help the millions of Americans out of work? It's 800-642-1234. Grace Seegers is a political reporter for CBS News. Grace, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it seemed like only maybe 24 hours ago that the $908 billion COVID relief plan had traction, and now hopes are really fading. What is going on?
Well, I think as with so many things on Capitol Hill, things seem very optimistic. And then as time goes on and more disagreements are revealed, it looks a bit more pessimistic. So Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told the congressional leaders in the House and the Senate this week that he doesn't think that there is going to be any compromise on state and local aid, which is a Democratic priority, and liability shields, which is a Republican priority. He said he doesn't think that there could be any compromise that would be widely accepted by the Republican caucus. Now, this is according to a senior Democratic aide familiar with the conversations. So you may want to take that with a little bit of grain of salt. But it seems like despite all of these good faith negotiations that the moderates in both parties are accomplishing, it doesn't look like the more ideological ends of both the Democratic and especially the Republican parties are too interested in making a deal.
Yeah, you know, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has repeatedly emphasized that he thinks more assistance, more aid is needed to help the economy, but it seems like he's framed the bipartisan package as unworkable. What is a no-go here? I mean, you mentioned state and local aid and liability shields. Are these the big sticking points?
Yeah, they really are the biggest sticking points. And McConnell actually earlier this week suggested that maybe Congress should drop these items altogether, and any package that they do get through should not include either of these items. And they can pick both of those issues back up in January when there is a new Congress. But Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the Democrats in Congress, they were really against this idea, saying that the state and local aid is desperately needed before the end of the year. So McConnell was trying to put his foot in the middle of these bipartisan negotiations. That's what they're arguing. So it really seems as if no matter what sort of effort to compromise either side makes, the other side sees it as bad faith negotiations or as unworkable.
In all of this, what is the prospect of getting another round of stimulus checks for Americans?
Now, that is the question. So in the $908 billion proposal put forward by this bipartisan group, there isn't a round of stimulus checks. Now, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin made a proposal to Pelosi and Schumer this week that would have included a round of stimulus checks, but that proposal would not include any additional unemployment benefits. So Pelosi and Schumer were against it, saying that it didn't go far enough. Meanwhile, in the Senate, as you mentioned, there is this critical must-pass stopgap short-term funding bill that would extend government funding deadline to next week.
The elephant now, in the room.
The big elephant in the room, exactly. Now, Senator Bernie Sanders, who, as we know, is very progressive, a firebrand in the Senate, he has threatened, actually, to block this from passing unless the Senate votes on another round of direct stimulus checks. He's really trying to force another vote on having these $1,200 checks go out. So we'll see if he actually goes through with that promise, if he actually does try to block the continuing resolution from passing. But that is another element in here.
We're talking, if you're just joining us, with Grace Seegers, a political journalist at CBS News. She's giving us the latest developments on Capitol Hill, the back and forth on the pending pandemic relief, and then what happens on a government spending bill. Taking your thoughts on what you see on Capitol Hill as well at 800-642-1234 and your questions as to where lawmakers go from here. Grace, you know, let's talk a little bit about this spending bill, because if the Senate fails to approve a one-week stopgap spending bill today by midnight, the government will shut down at midnight. Is that right?
That is correct. And it's not only that the Senate has to pass this bill, but also President Trump has to sign it. So that adds to the time crunch as well.
So, and we're not exactly, I mean, the Senate has been confident that they're going to get this through, this continuing resolution, but then it only, you know, kicks the ball forward for 1 week. The new deadline then becomes next Friday. What do you see out of trying to negotiate a spending bill?
You know, in my professional opinion, this is a big mess. There's just a lot of elements going on. And as you said, there's only 1 week to negotiate a new funding bill. So members of Congress have said that they don't just want to kick the can down the road again. They don't just want to do another continuing resolution, extending things as they are through next month or whatever. They want to do a brand new omnibus funding bill. But that requires a lot of negotiations. That requires writing thousands of pages of legislative text. And on top of that, members of Congress have said that they would want to attach any COVID relief negotiations on top of this omnibus bill. So not only do they have to write this omnibus bill and come to an agreement over that, they also have to write and come to an agreement over any coronavirus relief bill and add that. And then, of course, pass it through both houses of Congress and get it signed by the president. And all of that needs to be done if this is assuming that the Senate passes the continuing resolution tonight. All of that has to be done before December 18th. So, as I said before, it's a big mess.
What is the read from lawmakers and, you know, top negotiators on whether you would layer in COVID relief into, you know, an appropriations bill? It seems like you're kind of mixing things there.
Well, that's what lawmakers say that they want. I think kind of because it would make things a bit easier if you just wrapped it into one big ball and then passed it all at once. But you're right, it does make things more complicated in that they have to negotiate the coronavirus relief and the government spending separately and then put them together. And that assumes that there's agreement on both parts of these gigantic issues, which are really critical for American people.
And, you know, give us the size here of a government spending bill. What are we talking about?
Oh, gosh, it would be very big. Mm-hmm. So what we have now, the continuing resolution, is just an extension of our current budget.
Grace Seegers is a political reporter for CBS News. She's giving us an update on where negotiations are on a COVID relief package and a stopgap funding bill passed by the House earlier this week, waiting for Senate action, as she said, on the continuing resolution. How do you want Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to act now on an economic relief package? Have Democrats asked for too much? How would you characterize the response on Capitol Hill to the pandemic? Time for you, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Grace Seegers here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we discuss whether lawmakers on Capitol Hill can find a path forward before the end of the year on COVID aid. Also on their plates, draft and pass an omnibus appropriations bill to set fiscal spending for every agency by a week from today if senators pass the continuing resolution. And as Grace said, the president signs to avoid a government shutdown. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Are you worried that spending talks will stall? What questions do you have about the remaining days of the year and what scenarios could play out with congressional negotiations? Do you think there's a will to act or is it political theater? 800-642-1234. Grace Seegers is a political reporter for CBS News and reporting on the situation on Capitol Hill. Grace, I want to look a little bit closer here on extra jobless aid. I mean, if stimulus checks are off the table, what about weekly extra jobless benefits? Where are negotiations there?
Now, that, unfortunately, is another sticking point for members of Congress, because previously established under the CARES Act, we had an additional $600 per week on top of unemployment insurance that was very popular, and that expired at the end of July. And since then, the people who were reliant on these extra benefits have really been struggling. So Democrats, in whatever comes next, they want to include some number of additional benefits on top of weekly unemployment insurance. But Republicans are a bit wary because they're worried about people getting paid more while unemployed than they would while employed. So they're concerned that these additional benefits could provide a disincentive for people to return to work. So that's really another sticking point with both parties in this $908 billion proposal that we discussed that has been proposed by this bipartisan group of lawmakers. They include an additional few hundred dollars a week on top of the unemployment benefits. But again, as also previously discussed, it's not looking so good that that proposal would even be passed. So right now, it's just very murky.
Yeah. And so they were, you know, what was on the table there, as you mentioned, was, you know, $300 a week extra on top of your state unemployment and then carrying that out for, I think it's 16 weeks. Is that what they were looking at?
Yes, that is correct. But again, everything that we know about this proposal from the bipartisan group is not from any legislative text. They haven't written an actual bill, which would probably be hundreds of pages long. What they've done is released a 6-page framework that has a very basic bullet point summary under each of the provisions they're considering. And yes, that does include an additional 16 weeks of this $300 per week.
We're talking with CBS News political reporter Grace Seegers. She's giving us the latest back and forth on Capitol Hill and taking your questions as well at 800-642-1234. Grace, states like Wisconsin have really relied on the National Guard to carry out the nuts and bolts of getting, you know, the testing and certainly drive-through testing and specimen collection. What is the status of on funding the continuation of this National Guard mission?
So here's where we bring in the third element of this mess, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, which is the annual defense spending bill. It's passed every year for the past 59 years. And it has passed in the House overwhelmingly and is currently going to be looked at in the Senate. But there's a bit of a problem in that President Trump has said that he would veto this bill because it includes a provision he doesn't like and doesn't include a provision that he would like. So if this bill does pass in the House and the Senate, but he vetoes it, then Congress may have to reconvene to override the veto. So that is just yet another element in this craziness of congressional negotiations.
What in particular does President Trump have? What criticisms there are, does he have of this spending bill?
So the bill includes a provision that would set up a commission to study renaming military bases that were named after Confederate officials. And the president has previously made clear that he opposes renaming these bases named for Confederate officials. So he is against the inclusion of that provision in the NDAA. And then another thing that he wants included in the NDAA, but which currently isn't included, is a repeal of the social media liability protection known as Section 230. So that is currently not included in the bill because Democrats and actually a lot of Republicans say, no matter how we feel about social media liability protections, that's not relevant to national defense. Mm-hmm. But President Trump wants that included in the bill. And if it isn't included, then again, that's another reason why he's threatened to veto.
Let's bring in a call now. Tom is with us from Burlington. Hi, Tom. What would you like to say?
I study economics at Georgetown University. And when you look at the past history of these depressions, it's going to take massive amounts of money to get us out of this depression. In the Second World War is the thing that brought us out of the depression we had in the 30s. And to see these guys talking about this nitpicking stuff, it's heartbreaking. They have to get the money in the people's hands and get the money rolling around. Everybody's in a desperate situation, and I can't believe why they're just going around in political circles.
Tom, thank you for the call. Grace, Tom is really sick of the bickering that's going on and says it will take a massive amount of cash infusion to keep our economy afloat. What do economists say?
Well, I think what Tom is saying is what millions of Americans are feeling right now, which is that we are in dire straits. And it can appear as if Congress is just bickering over minor things instead of working to actually get things done. So there is no doubt that whatever comes next from Congress will have to be a very large spending bill. Now, Pelosi and congressional Democrats have previously said that they didn't want anything that was under $2 trillion. They're now willing to go below that because Pelosi says situations have changed. Now we have President-elect Biden coming into the White House and a vaccine on the way. So now she's willing to consider something closer to $1 trillion. But the problem is that if Republicans aren't able to agree to this, and if Democrats aren't willing to agree to Republican proposals, then we're not going to see any money come in, much less the several hundred billion or trillions of dollars that would be required.
Let's bring in Joshua now, joining us from Watertown. Joshua, what are your thoughts here?
Well, hi, Kate. So I had a question, to see what your guest thinks about this. What about if they incentivize people to get the vaccine? Instead of giving everybody $1,200, we incentivize each person that if you get the vaccine and stay home for that amount of time to get the second shot, because it's two doses, that the government incentivizes people to do that. I think that would lower the cases, the positive cases, and it would put some responsibility on people to not only get the vaccine, but also to stay home. And then, the relief package would be if you get the vaccine and stay home, then we'll give you the money.
Yeah. So paying Americans to take the vaccine, has this come up at all, Grace, on Capitol Hill?
It has, actually. I have been hearing some rumors about somehow directly incentivizing Americans to take the vaccine, but this is kind of a, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it situation, because right now Congress is in the midst of trying to pass this stopgap funding bill and then this omnibus bill and then this basic coronavirus relief. And then, on top of that, also making sure that defense spending is reauthorized for the next year. So I do think that we are going to see some discussions about that, but it probably won't be until the new Congress reconvenes in early January.
as you just made the laundry list there of so many issues on the table, what are you watching for in the negotiations over the next few days?
Well, I think what I personally am really interested in is seeing whether the great need that we have discussed of Americans, the struggling that so many Americans are undergoing right now, if all of that does sink in with the politicians in Congress, and if they are willing to get past their differences and go, okay, we really need to pass this. Here's what Democrats want. Here's what Republicans want. So we're just going to swallow our dislike of some of these provisions and make a deal. But knowing Congress, that's not as likely. So it would be nice if the politicians in Congress could see the level of struggling and come to a deal that is amenable to both parties. But given the high level of polarization we have in Congress right now, I don't know how likely that is.
Grace, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Grace Seegers is a political reporter for CBS News. Coming up, we take a look at development in downtown Milwaukee and the impact it may have on adjacent neighborhoods. That's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.